rather than trying to hack your way into winning, focus on your customer and provide the best possible content, experience, answers, trust, whether they're looking for you in search, whether they're looking for you in ChatGPT or in a community. All of these things work together. And if you try to growth hack and like force your way in one way, you're going to end up missing all these other signals too.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan Gandolf, co-founder and CEO of Audience Plus. I'm thrilled to be joined today by a longtime partner, friend, customer, colleague, somebody I admire in the marketing space, Elizabeth Irvine, who is Senior Director of Growth Marketing at Siteimprove, which is actually a little bit of news in and of itself. You know, seeing Siteimprove acquired MarketMuse. We were huge MarketMuse fans. We were big Siteimprove fans. So pretty powerful combination there. We'll get into a little bit of what they do and some of the unique perspective that provides their team on what's happening in the space right now. I'm excited to learn from that myself today. But before we do that, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in your own words.
Yeah, sure. So I lead the growth marketing team, which encompasses a lot of channels, search, social, email, paid media, just trying to help us be found with the people that we care about.
That is, one of the most critical roles, maybe the first step that I think oftentimes we overlook is that awareness and that findability. And obviously, there's a lot going on in that space right now. So we'll talk about some of that today. We are recording a bit behind the scenes here for our watchers and listeners. Early morning on the week of the 4th here in the States. This question might be a bit of a curveball based on our typical time of recording. But Elizabeth, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays since it is the Content Cocktail Hour?
Yes, apart from my nearly finished coffee, I actually recently tried the Calm, the app. The meditation app has a non-alcoholic drink in it.
Wow.
A fuzzy, fizzy, not fuzzy. That would be weird. Holy, we don't want that. A fizzy, like cucumber melon, very refreshing drink that's affordable. And I repurchased it after trying a few. So
is it infused with anything to help you like sleep, like calming, or is it just like a non-alcoholic like beverage?
I don't think so. I think it's similar to all the others where it has like some of the natural stuff, but tastes good. So I didn't enjoy that.
Love that. I love that kind of brand extension. I'll check that out. That's pretty cool. Well, cool. Let's jump into the conversation. Elizabeth, you mentioned kind of findability, and I quickly retorted that's kind of like the first thing that all brands, businesses need to do is be able to be findable by their customers. I shared with you before we hit record here, we just did an analysis of the top 20 pieces of resources from our platform in the first half of 2025. And there's this really interesting, like, kind of polarization between the content. We obviously have some content about AI, but then we also have a lot of content that is just about like being better at the basics. I think one of those examples is it's like how to build a project management calendar is like one of the pieces of content, right? And it feels like we are in this world and there's so much noise with all things AI, but then so many people in their day-to-day, like they just need to be better at the basics. You mentioned, as we were talking about this, kind of this balance of like the basics versus growth hacking. It feels like growth hacking has come and gone out of popularity. Just in your role, are you feeling some of that pressure of like, there's all this AI, new capabilities and new noise, but then there's also this fundamental job to be done that is being findable. How do you kind of balance the basics versus the excitement and buzz around AI?
It's hard because as marketers, we have many layers of goals where we have to show how we're driving pipeline in quarter now and building it in the future. And so when we're talking about, you know, what can we do this quarter? Well, frankly, marketing, it's going to be hard for marketing to influence depending on your sales cycle. And this goes back to basics. You don't know how long your sales cycle is, especially from the time they start talking with sales, no less by the time you actually get them in to your CRM. A lot of times you're not going to be able to influence that quarter. So when we're looking at growth hacking, a lot of times the conversations are like, what should we do right now? And I get slacks all the time of this LinkedIn post of like, well, look at this workflow. How can we do this? When you look practically about how you bring it into that, into your organization, especially if you're a larger organization. You have to factor in at least 6 weeks of procurement time. You have to factor in all of the legal stuff, all the checking. How does it fit with your existing workflows? And to your point about project management, getting buy-in from other team members. So even just bringing in a new tool, in theory, could take at least 6 months. So when we're looking at growth hacking, because I see this coming up a lot, like, bring this workflow in and you're going to see 200, 300% improvement in whatever it is that they're talking about. But what does that really mean in practicality? So I think when we're looking at what can we try, what can we experiment with, we have to make sure that our basics are in place, that our message is clear, that our content is good. Because if we install some of these growth hacking tactics and these spikes, but our user experience on the site isn't great, or if the content that we're pushing isn't quite hitting the mark, then we're going to be spending money in an area that won't deliver. So I think going back to basics and making sure the foundation is really solid before layering in some of these amenities. I think it's really easy to associate it to building a house, whereas the foundation of your house and the frame of your house isn't solid, and you do a bathroom remodel, you might find some things in there that it's going to stall the project and you have to reconfigure.
I love that analogy. And I love, like, even at the top of that, when you mentioned, like, knowing your sales cycle length, knowing your pipeline numbers, knowing, like, your attribution model, like, yeah, you almost have to build that foundation. You almost have to, like, earn the right to experiment or growth hack, right? And it's like, if that foundation is sturdy, yes, then let's go experiment with adding this on or adding that on, those amenities that you mentioned. I think that's a really good way of thinking about that. I might steal that myself. I love that analogy. So you're seeing this maybe more like tangibly than a lot of folks. You're at a business that helps other brands with findability. That's kind of your role. Obviously, there's a lot going on in that space. I'll share a little bit of my own personal perspective. It's a bit interesting. You know, we'll probably look back on this podcast recording years from now and maybe laugh that we don't even know what to call this. I've called it Elmo, GEO, AIEO, which sounds like we're on old McDonald's farm. The space is obviously growing a lot right now. There's a lot of people moving into that space, helping others with that. But there's also this, like, kind of curtain to it all of, like, a little bit of a black box of what's actually driving it, what is working, what isn't working. All I've been able to see to this point is that, like, broadly speaking, good SEO habits are good for these LLMs, the GPTs, whichever kind of LLM you want to use. Being in the space, have you kind of informed your own opinion on what matters to you and your team, or kind of how are you seeing the space evolve and what matters and what doesn't right now?
There's definitely that curtain, the Wizard of Oz. We don't know what's behind there. And I don't think we will for a while. I think there's a lot of assumptions and a lot of correlation. We did this thing and we saw this result, but we also know that things change and evolve. And
can I share one of my favorite statistics?
Yes.
Everybody who has ever confused causation and correlation has died.
Yes, I guess. Yes.
Or will.
Or yeah. Will, yes. It's real, though. Like, I did this thing and this happened. Well, that thing must be directly connected and we have to completely change our strategy and go all in on this. We've also learned over time that I think the Google algorithm changes, the core updates, the way that they are surfacing content for their audience, even if we're frustrated with some of those changes and are confused by them, it's kind of flattening every time that happens. And that's going to happen with all forms of search. But at the end of the day, their goals, and I think we can all be really confident in this, their goals are to serve the best answer and the best content for the person researching. And the way that they will do that is by pulling from sources that they trust and have proven that they know these answers. And that's why in SEO, both covering topics fully and showing your expertise is really important, but also the structure and the bones of your site. You need to be able to really show search engines where they can find this information on the site, how it structures that structured data, the performance of your site, Are they going to, even if you have a great answer, are they going to send their audience to a site that is slow and not performing well? So like the content and the technical aspect actually really go well together. And the accessibility aspect, is everybody going to be able to read the site? Accessibility is connected to SEO as well. And so if you think about these foundational pieces and this baseline, again, it's an assumption and potentially correlation, but AI search is going to be looking at it in a similar way. It may not be looking at all of those aspects in the same way, but they are looking at the search results in a similar way, just serving it up differently. And that's where I think there's a lot of discourse about how to hack your way into the answers. But just like people tried to hack their way into the top of search results in the past, it was course corrected in how the information was served. So rather than trying to hack your way into winning, focus on your customer and provide the best possible content, experience, answers, trust, whether they're looking for you in search, whether they're looking for you in ChatGPT or in a community. All of these things kind of work together. And if you try to growth hack and like force your way in one way, you're going to end up missing all these other signals too.
So you may have just hit on this a little bit, but for somebody who is either has relied on SEO in a large way in the past as a marketer for their brand, or just wants to make sure they're not being left behind by GEO, what should they be doing right now?
It's a great question.
I'm glad I get to ask it and don't have to answer it.
It's funny because the perpetual answer for anything SEO is, it depends. But I think that really knowing your audience, really knowing what they need, and using self-reflection on your website and your offering and saying, are we telling them and search who we are and what we're like, how we connect to their problems? Are we even talking about their problems? Do they come to our site and say, you get me? Yes, this is what I need. Or are we just talking about software? It's so basic. It's that frame. But I feel that when you have those foundations really solid, some of this other stuff gets a lot easier and your channels start to perform better. So I would say I don't have a silver bullet for you need to be doing this one thing in order to win. It's really going back to those basics and understanding your customers and are you talking to them in the language that they are speaking. And there was actually a really great, it's funny, because I'm going to a LinkedIn post, stuck with me, about training a custom GPT. And I hadn't heard this one before, but I will play with this. We put a lot of content into training AI in whatever aspect, like written content. But the advice here was to also include voice content. So conversations that you have with your customers, because the words that you use when you speak are different than the words that you use when you write. So you simplify things and you can also tell if someone's confused. So you may start in one way and then you adjust it and reframe it. This is a copywriting tactic that goes probably back centuries. If you read it out loud,
yeah,
does it sound right? Are you confused when you, because the individual words together always end up making sense, but sometimes a paragraph ends up being one sentence. And then what are we actually saying? And if you find yourself going back and reading it multiple times, when you say it out loud, would you say this to a person? So I think it's really about understanding, making sure you really understand customers, making sure that your team understands your customers, not just marketing. It all has to go across the board to product. So as we all get in our own like bubble and our own goals, we have annual goals that we need to hit, and this is how we're going to hit it. And the more we're focused on that, that actually gets us further and further away from our customers.
It's such a great like kind of full circle conversation of like, we started with like the basics and we talked like all these like emerging technologies. And then we kind of go back to these basics of like self-reflection, really strong copywriting based on listening to your audience. I think like, again, those are the foundational elements to making sure that you can take advantage of whatever emerging technology, whether it's GEO or anything else that's going on out there. I think unless you're really good at those foundational basics, it doesn't really matter. And you mentioned not having a silver bullet. I would argue if anybody says they do have a silver bullet right now, I would run from that advice as fast as possible.
You still have something specific.
Yes, exactly. Elizabeth, I'm so curious. You and your role in your business, you guys are kind of on the leading edge of some of this, but where does somebody like yourself stay educated on what is happening in the space right now?
I actually spend a lot of time in communities with my peers. There's a weekly CMO meetup, 8 a.m. every Friday. I know. And it's just the conversation. And sometimes it's not one thing that's said in that call, but it triggers something in your mind. And you might go research it a bit deeper. I think the choosing the right community, too, of folks that you know are on the pulse is really important. But I think you also get that more real conversation and not something that's been a little edited and sanitized. And, you know, it's more of the authentic conversations that you have, which kind of ties back to the customer conversation too. They just want to have authentic conversations and you buy from someone that you like and trust. So I kind of look at that from where I'm going to stay updated as well. So there's a lot of community time that I put in.
I love that. Elizabeth, I don't tell all of our guests, but one of the themes and kind of a lot of what you're doing is listening. And I think that's like, I don't know, there's some reflection there on like just being a really good listener, I think, is sometimes a part of marketing. We, myself included, sometimes are guilty of being too loud too often, you know, being the voice. And that is part of the marketer's role, is being that kind of voice. But I think sometimes it's good to pause that voice and listen to the community, your customers, your web traffic. That seems to be a steady current in a lot of your answers here.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. If our listeners, speaking of which, want to learn more from you or learn more about Siteimprov, Elizabeth, what's the best way to do that?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm trying to be better about posting, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
But I'm there every now and then. Siteimprov.com. We help you be findable and be accessible to the people that you care about, so that everybody can read your site and experience it. Those are the two primaries.
Love it. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining today's episode. I think you're a recurring guest now, and there's only a handful of those. So thank you for coming back, and I look forward to the next episode. We'll get all of those links in the show notes here. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, same place. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.